My name is Corey Moore. I'm from the Space Dynamics Laboratory, and we've been doing work with the USDA Agricultural Research Service on air quality emissions from animal agriculture mainly, but also tillage and such things. What I want to talk to you about today is the results of some analyses that we've done on some measurements that were collected quite a while ago. And we're looking at ammonia emissions from a dairy here in the state of California. And this is a list of all the co-authors on this talk. And then, first of all, let's go into a little bit of the background. The reason that we're looking at ammonia is that ammonia has health issues associated with it, but it also contributes to particle formation through the formation of ammonium nitrate. And recently, agriculture has been looked at for how much is it contributing to the particle loading within an atmosphere in a given area. And this comes from both primary particles, which mainly dust and comes from combustion sources, and then secondary particles, which are can come from ammonia, NOx, SOx, as well as VOCs. And then another thing to remember is that within all of this, we have climate, housing, manure management, and other confounding factors that change the impacts from dairy to dairy, from facility to facility. So what we did is we went out and we took some measurements in a dairy to help answer those questions. And the objective of the measurements that we made was to characterize PM2.5, PM10, TSB, and ammonia emissions from the dairy, or concentrations, fluxes, and emissions from the commercial dairy. And the results for these can be found in two papers, which have been published over the last few years. What I'm going to talk to you about today is kind of an overview of the second paper, the one that was published this year. And then I did some further analysis recently on that same data set that I want to present to you today. So, first of all, the dairy had 950 milking cows. It also had all the heifers and the calves on the facility for a total of almost 1,900 animals. The pens, it was an open lot dairy, and there were shelters in most of the pens that were just basically a roof on poles. The calves were held in individual pens with shelters. Manure management for this dairy, the feed lanes were flushed several times a day, and then the liquids that were flushed were sent through a solid separator, and then into a lagoon holding pond. The solids that were removed were windrowed, but this was not. We did not see any removal from the solid separator while we were doing the study. The other feed lanes for the non-milking cows were scraped weekly, and the manure in the open lots was gathered approximately weekly also. Again, none of these occurred while we were actually taking the measurements. It happened before and just after. This is what the layout of the facility looks like. As you can see here, if I can bring the mouse up, is there a pointer here? All right, we don't have one. I can't seem to get the mouse up, so you'll have to just kind of look, and I'll try to describe it. So we have down here on the bottom end, we have the settling basin and the holding pond for the liquid manure. Thank you. Okay, so here's the liquid and manure holding areas. Here's all the pens. The milking parlor is shown here in blue, and here's the calf hutches. That polygon is really out of place. I apologize. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, so here's all the milking cows, and then the heifers and dry cows and steers are housed in these pens over here. And one of the reasons that we did it is that this location in this area of California, the winds are very consistent. As you can see here, by the windrows off to the right, throughout the entire measurement period, the winds were out of the northwest quadrant almost the entire time. It made measurements relatively easy. To measure ammonia, we had two systems that we deployed. The first we're going to talk about was an open path Fourier transform infrared spectrometer. And you can see both, we actually used two systems. They're both shown in this picture here on the right. These systems are based on energy absorption at different wavelengths. And so a certain gas will absorb at a certain wavelength, and another one will absorb at a different wavelength. And so if you can figure out which wavelength it's being absorbed at, you can identify and even quantify the amount of gas that's in the air. At this point, we had the two of them next to each other shooting down a common path to get a comparison calibration. So we could say that the upwind one would have seen the same thing that the downwind one did. And then we also deployed some passive samplers from Ogawa. And it's just a little pad that's coated in citric acid. And we expose it for 12 hours at a time, take it back and analyze it at the lab via IC. This is kind of what our sampling looked like. So we had some upwind samples, as shown by all the dots. And here's the upwind FTIR path. And here's downwind FTIR. And we had that one set up in kind of a bow tie formation, where we had the FTIR sitting inside of the scaffolding system, and with the beam directed out onto a mirror. And then that mirror could turn so that we could point it at several different retroreflectors and measure along several different path lengths. If you look here, all the triangles represent the different retroreflectors for the FTIRs. And so we had a total of 6 retroreflectors on the downwind side. So we were measuring ammonia concentrations along 6 different lengths and at different elevations on the downwind side of the dairy. We had 23 passive samplers set out around the facility, both on the upwind and the downwind side. And this is just a picture of the retroreflectors on the tower here on the east side of the facility. So we're measuring at multiple heights. So what we do is we take the measured concentrations, and then we calculate an emissions rate based off of this equation here, where we use a model to a dispersion model to get an idea of the ratio between the concentration predicted by the model to the emission rate used for the model, and using that in conjunction with the measured concentrations around the facility, we were able to calculate an emissions rate. For this study, we used the AIRMOD dispersion model, which is a regulatory model recommended by the EPA, and we used a least sum of squares optimization procedure for this. So we collected data for over a period of about 7 days. We collected 13 12-hour sample periods with the passive samplers. And this is a picture of one of them deployed at the facility in between the lagoons and the pens. And then our FTIRs, we were operating about 75% of the time over that period. And as far as what we saw at the facility, this is a graph of the concentrations, kind of a timeline of the concentrations as measured by the open path FTIRs. The solid black line at the bottom is the one that we had at our background location, and it actually recorded relatively high concentrations throughout the time period. We were seeing concentrations anywhere from 40 to 60 to even 70 ppb as a background level. And then downwind of the facility, we saw all the way up to 1,200 ppb for, I think these are one minute averages. All right, so here's the results from our emission factor calculations. And I've got results for the passives and for the FTIR. I did forget to mention that we looked at two different main sources. We looked at the pens as the main source, and we also looked at the liquid manure system as a source. And our optimization procedure found the best fit to the measured data based off of the it found the emission rates for these two sources that best fit the measured data. And so this is these are the average values. So from the entire facility, we found values of 140.2 grams per day per animal, and with the passives, and then 200 grams per day per animal coming from the FTIR. This corresponded to a total facility emission rate of 265 kilograms per day for the facility, and then for the passives, and then 265, and then 375 kilograms per day based off the FTIR data. Now, one thing to note is that all of these emission factors and all the calculations, the emissions factor calculations that have been done to this point, are based off of the assumption that each cow emits the same amount. So the emission rate within each pen is only related to the number of animals. However, as you remember, there's both milking cows as well as all the way down to young calves at this facility. So recently, I've taken I wanted to look at whether or not that assumption was valid. And one thing that I used to help me with that was this table that was included within the paper. And it's an estimation using some values from the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Engineers standards paper to estimate, based off of dry matter intake, number of cows and all that, and dietary crude protein, the total manure excreted per animal, and then also the nitrogen that was excreted per animal. And so what I did is, the question was, you can see that there's a large difference between the milking cows and the steers and the calves and even the heifers as to how much manure and how much nitrogen is excreted. So the question that I was trying to answer in this last bit was, how do the total emissions from the facility and how much do the emissions per animal change if I look at it if I calculate the emission rates based off of the total manure excreted per pen and the total nitrogen excreted per pen, instead of just looking at the number of animals. And this is what I've only had time to do this for the passive data set, so I want to go through and run it for the FTIR. But this is what I found, is that the emissions per animal, the ratio of the maximum emission rate, which was for the milking cows, to the minimum emission rate, which was for the calves, was anywhere from 4.6 to 6. So the milking cows were estimated to excrete 6 times as much, manure or nitrogen. So this will definitely have an impact, and as that can be seen in the graph here on the lower portion, where the different colored bars correspond to whether it's based off of just animal count, total manure excreted per pen, or the nitrogen excreted per pen. And this is a percent. On the y-axis we have the percent of the total emission rate from the facility. And as you can see, based off of the animal, because we're assuming that each animal emits the same, we have this distribution. But if we take into account the amount of manure and nitrogen excreted, we actually have the impact of the calves, the steers, the heifers. They all decrease, while the milking cows actually increase the percent of their total emission rate. So if I go through and do all the calculations, and take it all the way to the total amount that's emitted from the facility, remember with the animal I had about 265 kilograms per day, but if I look at it just based off of manure or nitrogen, I have 219 kilograms per day and 212 kilograms per day. A decrease of about 80% of total emissions from the facility if I look at it from this standpoint. And now then another thing I wanted to do was figure out which was the better fit to the measured data. So I looked at the root mean square error of them all. So I calculated it for all three of them, and then I compared the manure and the nitrogen against the animal. So if a value, if it comes out with a value of 100, then it's the same match, basically, to the measured data as far as concentrations. And what we see is that manure and nitrogen, in general, produce higher results, but have a couple where it's actually quite a bit lower, the mean square error. Overall, it comes out to about 5 or 6% higher, not very much higher. So in conclusion, we went to a dairy and made some measurements of ammonia concentrations around the facility. Then we came home, used those measurements to estimate emission rates based off of animal, the total number of animals, the total manure excreted, and the total nitrogen excreted. And the one thing that we did find was that the pens were very dominant ammonia sources, as has been found for other open lots. And then if we look at the manure and nitrogen-based total emissions, those are only about 80%, as if we based on the number of animals. And that's it for now.
Any questions?
How far downwind of your barns was the FTLIR at?
If I go back and to the map, so the downwind pass were on this side were within 50 meters, and over on this side, the dominant wind directions from here, we were up to 150 meters away from the pens. We did not do any measurements inside of the pens. No.
If no further questions, please join me in thanking Corey for his talks.